Turn, if you would, please, over to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. I'd like to read verse 15 through verse 19. 2 Timothy 2, we'll read verse 15 through verse 19. My text will be verse 19. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. When I was a teenager, my dad built a garage onto his house, and I helped him dig the footer. It had to be so deep and it had to be so wide, and he wanted to have the right foundation in order for the garage to be sound. And I surmise that we all know the importance of a good foundation. A bad foundation brings the structure into risk. I trust you're familiar with the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Which one of us have not heard the commercial on TV for Olshan? You know, the foundation repair specialist. Fix it with Olshan, fix it for good. But not only is the proper foundation necessary for a building, it is important for decision making. As we say, we're only as good as our information. And if we base our information or our decision on faulty information, then our decision will be, it's going to be wrong. And the same thing is true for your worldview, your concept of marriage, your business ethics, and anything in your life. Yes, it is even true when it comes to spiritual beliefs. If your core values that you hold to has the idea that there is no God, then you're not going to respond spiritually. On the other hand, if you believe there is a sovereign God who watches over the affairs of man, you are more likely to pursue spirituality. And of course, your concept of God will make a difference as to why and how you respond. If you have a wrong spiritual foundation, your spiritual house will be faulty, and it will not stand in the judgment. It is then my objective to consider the right foundation. And that is the title of my message today, The Right Foundation. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day, and we pray that you bless your word to our hearts. And Lord, forgive us of our sin and where we fall short against you, and just draw us to you, and let us be more in the image of your Son. Let us be found faithful. We pray for your grace and your mercy for our lives day by day. And Lord, we pray for any that might be here today that is lost, that you would convict them of their sin and draw them to Jesus, grant unto them repentance and faith that today they might be saved. And Lord, you've heard our request for those that are sick. We pray that you'd heal them. Those that are traveling, keep them safe. Lord, we just turn this service over to you, and we pray that it would be honoring to you. Help us to realize that we need to have a good foundation in all that we do, and especially in the matter of salvation and as we face eternity. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for what you're going to do, and we love you today, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Talking to you today from verse 19, the right foundation. Glance at the context very quickly. We looked into verse 15, and it's a very familiar text. And what we find here is an exhortation to pursue the truth. We ought to study to show ourselves approved unto God. And so I encourage you, I encourage myself, let us be good students of the Word so that we might rightly divide the Word of truth. We have the exhortation to pursue truth. And then you'll find in verse 16 and verse 17, as we have read, that there was a warning against false teachers and false teaching. And some things were mentioned there, and a few names were mentioned in the text. And as you glance on down at verse 18 once again, we find that these false teachers had an impact or an effect upon some. In verse 18, it says that these people had concerning the truth, they've erred from it. But they're saying that the resurrection is already past, and they've overthrown the faith of some. And so Hymenaeus and Philetus, of just two that were mentioned, they were corrupt, and they corrupted other people. And so there is a necessity for us to pursue after the truth and to be on guard against those who would not teach the truth, because there is an impress upon those about them. And then we get to verse 19, which is our text, which really is a comfort to true believers, because it talks about the foundation of God and the seal of God. And so keep that in mind as we look into verse 19. And let's look at it one more time. It says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Now, I direct your attention to our text and the fact that the core issue is the foundation. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure." The word foundation in the text means exactly that. It's even as I expressed to you in the opening about my dad building a foundation for his garage. And if you ever build a house, all buildings have foundations if they're going to be a building that's going to last any time at all. And so you know what foundations are. And that's what the word means. It comes from a Greek word that means to lay or to place or to set down. And so, of course, we'll use that terminology even in our society. Builders will say, well, we had to lay the foundation. So that's the idea. Now he says, the foundation of God. So we're not talking about cement and mortar. We're not talking about brick or iron or rebar. We're talking about the foundation of God. Now he says, the foundation of God standeth sure. The word stands means to make to stand. It is to set. It is to fix, to appoint. It is to establish. So the foundation of God is something which is established. It's something that is fixed. And notice it says it standeth sure. That word sure means stiff. It means hard. It can be used in regard to food. You have solid food as opposed to pureed or soft food. The word means to be firm. It means to be steadfast. And so he says the foundation of God standeth sure. So God's foundation is something that's very appointed, something that's very established, and it's rock solid. Can we use that term? And when we think about human foundations, you know, they're just about all made out of cement and steel and rebar and all kinds of support and all that. Nobody makes a foundation out of gelatin, you know. We just don't do that. Now, I do realize that with technological advancements in our society, that some foundations are on springs. Do you know that? Some foundations are on ball bearings, and they do that because they're in earthquake zones, and they put that great big building on springs. You know, when the earthquake comes, it just tends to wobble instead of break apart the building. The same with the ball bearings. It's technological advancements to try to stave against the damages of an earthquake. That's still a good foundation, isn't it? Now, the foundation of God, it doesn't waver. It's not springy. It doesn't need to be springy. Doesn't need to be a ball bearings. Foundation of God standeth sure. It is solid. It is rigid. Now, he says in the text that the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. And that word seal is the word for a seal like or a signet ring. I remember when I was younger, I had two older sisters, and there was that phase back in the, I hate to admit this, but back in the late 60s and early 70s, and where the teenage girls, they would write letters, and then they would melt the wax on the thing and they impress it. I imagine they still do that today in some aspects. I'm not real familiar with teenage culture. But I remember they had that, and so they had impresses. Well, in ancient days, they had the very same thing. They would have a signet ring. And it would be by the king or someone in great authority, sometimes second in command of the nation. And when they would pass down a decree or pass a law or something like that, they would seal the thing up by dripping wax on it, and they'd press the signet ring on it. And so the signet ring was a seal. And it was a distinctive mark. We still have those kind of things. Things can be sealed today. And so these are a proof. They're tokens. Now he says that the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. What's the proof? What's the token? What's the wax with the ring in it? What is that? He says, here it is. Look at the middle part of verse 19. The Lord knoweth them that are His. Well, that's the foundation, isn't it? That's the proof of it. Well, in sum, what we see in this verse is the presence of a foundation, and we see that the foundation is solid. And the proof of this foundation there's proof that this foundation is legitimate, and the proof that he offers is the fact that God knows them that are his. So we see something about a foundation in the essential nature of a foundation. But let me pass on. I want to talk for just a few moments about wrong foundations. The title of the message is The Right Foundation. But we know that there are wrong foundations. And what I've chosen to do, and there are three main aspects of which I'm going to discuss wrong foundations, I'm just going to offer it. I've been in the ministry for many years, and I've talked to people about their relationship with God and where they're going when they die, and they offer up all kinds of expressions. And I'm going to use some of these expressions just to be able to speak to you about and describe to you the foundation of which they are basing their life on. One of the wrong foundations I want to mention to you is the matter of good works. And so you hear phrases like this. You ask them, hey, are you going to heaven when you die? And they say, yeah, I am going to heaven. And you'll say, well, why are you going to heaven? And they'll say, well, I've lived a good life. That tells me that they have a wrong foundation because they're basing their salvation on good works. They think that because they live a good life, because they treat their neighbor right, they think they're going to be able to access heaven, that their good will outweigh their bad, or whatever their viewpoint is, they have a wrong foundation there. Now, that's from a positive perspective. Sometimes you talk to people and they offer it in a negative perspective because what they'll say is, I'm not really that bad of a person. They know there's some badness going on. They know there's some wrong going on, but they don't see themselves as that bad. And so every now and then you run into somebody and they'll say, well, I've never committed any of the big three. I never knew there was a big three, but I mean, all my ministry, I've heard people talk about the big three, and they talk about I've never committed adultery, I've never committed murder, and I've never robbed a bank. And so people really do have a concept that if they don't do anything major like that, and if you're from a Catholic perspective, they would call it mortal sins, you know, instead of venial sins. You can do the venial sins and kind of get by with them for a little while and get your way out. You commit mortal sins, it's a difficult thing. You're just condemned to hell. So you have to deal with that. Well, people have these viewpoints. It's a matter of good works. And the issue of good works is a wrong foundation. They believe that if they can just live a good life and not do bad things and be as good as they can, and that even though they might mess up along the way, God will understand and God will let them in. That is a wrong foundation. That's not the foundation you see in our text. That's not the foundation of God that standeth sure. It doesn't have the seal, well, just do good works and you can make it in. And so a wrong foundation is good works. Another wrong foundation is the matter of religion. Perhaps religion in general, but it also includes Christian beliefs and Christian practices. Because what happens when you talk to people and you ask them if they're going to heaven, they say yes. And you say, why are you going to heaven? You often will hear, I've been baptized. That's their first thing. Well, are you going to heaven when you die? Yeah, I've been baptized. Or they'll say, well, I'm a member of a church. Then you'll hear things like, well, I may not believe as you do, but I'm sincere in what I do believe. So they have some sort of religion. They have some sort of concept. And it may not be according to the Bible. It may not be according to the truth, but they hold it. They believe it. And they just think it's good enough. But that's a wrong foundation. I've heard people tell me you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I don't know how you segue from why are you going to heaven to an answer of go to church to be a Christian. Didn't ask them about whether they went to church or not. We said, are you going to heaven when you die? And they said, yes. And you said, well, why are you going to heaven? Well, you know, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Because they automatically assume that you're asking them to come to your church, which we want people to come to our church. But coming to this church will not get you into heaven. That would be a wrong foundation, wouldn't it? And so people do, they believe that. And some of the things you'll hear, one more example, I've walked an aisle. I prayed a prayer. Those are wrong foundations. Walking an aisle can be okay, and praying a prayer can be okay. Going to a church can be okay. But none of those things will get us into heaven. Genuine repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, that's what gets us into heaven. And so if you believe anything else, you have a wrong foundation. You got the wrong basis to begin with. Remember I said unto you, we're only as good as our information? And we can only make our decisions based upon what we know. And if you're faulty in your information, you've made some faulty decisions. And so these people that believe these kind of things, they've heard faulty information all their life. Their parents believe that. Their grandparents believe it. Their neighbors believe it. And they say, well, I don't really know anything about it, but since they believe it, I believe it too. They've received this faulty information. They've laid faulty foundations, and they build upon those faulty foundations faulty decisions. And they think they can get to heaven by their good works. They think they can get to heaven by their religion. And none of that will achieve for us heaven. Let me submit unto you one other aspect of a wrong foundation. And the only way I could really express it is the matter of having other ways or other foundations. Now, I realize that there are more religions in the world than Christianity. I understand that. And even among under the umbrella of Christianity, there are many, many branches and concepts and views. And a lot of those people aren't making it from their even because they don't have the truth, even though they claim to be Christian. You know, sometimes we'll get to complain, and I wanted to say this. They'll say, you Baptists, you think you're the only ones going to heaven. Well, we're more narrow than that. We don't even think some of the Baptists are going. You know, I mean, we realize that. The fact is, just because you're a member of a church doesn't mean that you're going to heaven. Now, I understand that there are other ways, other foundations that people hold to. And so they come up with statements like this, and we hear it all the time. Well, I think there are other ways to get to God. You'll hear the phrase, all religions are good. Well, I'll tell you, they just don't combine. If the Bible is true, which it is, and the Bible tells us that salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ apart from works, which is the only way, by the way, I know I'm tipping my hand, but you know what? Everything else that is contrary to that is wrong. I know that's offensive. But there are many religions in the world, many founders of those religions, whether it be from the Eastern and Middle East and go on to the East. And you could just name all the myriad of religions. You can go to India and there's over a million gods and goddesses. How do you follow after all that? You can't just toss Jesus in the mix and say, well, I believe in Hindu and all these other gods and goddesses and all this kind of stuff. And then I just add Jesus and that's good enough. Cannot be done, my friend. All that is improper foundation. None of it's going to work. Turn, if you would, back to Matthew chapter 7. Book of Matthew chapter 7. I didn't say there wasn't saved people in other denominations. I didn't say that. I think there are some saved people in other denominations, but it's despite what they teach because of what they teach. Some of that evidence is borne out in our text where Hymenaeus and Philetus had overthrown the faith of some, but God didn't waver any. Now, in Matthew chapter 7, as we think about wrong foundations, we want to touch on this for just a few moments, and then I want to discuss the right foundation. We'll be finished. I want you to note out of Matthew 7 the danger of wrong foundations. It's expressed for us in the passage. Look at verse 24. Jesus speaking on the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that buildeth his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. Why? For it was founded upon the rock. Verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, there are two metaphors that are given forth in this passage. One is the wise man building upon the rock, which is found in verse 24. This is as opposed to the foolish man who is built upon the sand, which is verse 26. I understand the book of Luke and his description over there says it's upon the earth. Either way, you get the idea. One is solid, one is not. One's not going to go anywhere, one will. One can't be eroded, the other is going to just wash away. And so we have these two metaphors. And what we found in verse 25 as we read that, and we found in verse 27, is that every house will be tried. Doesn't matter whether it's a house built upon the rock or it's a house built upon the sand or upon the earth, every house will be tried. I surmise from this that God will bring or allow tests to come to every doorstep. And the trials will vary in type and severity, but every house is going to be tried. Every aspect of that house will be tried, because the Scripture says that beat upon the house. Some storms vary from in strength and power, doesn't it? I mean, we might get some rain today, but that's far different than the deluge that we had back in the spring. You know, so what we find is storms come, and what we need to realize that, you know what, we're building our lives upon a foundation, and every life will be tested. And you better have the right foundation, because really that's the issue of the text, isn't it? Look at it there. It talks about the foundation. It was founded upon a rock, verse 25. The other was found upon the sand. And so, while the building is important, we don't diminish the building. The foundation is really what matters. You can have the best building ever, and if you put it on a wrong foundation, it will crumble. It will fall. It's not going to be able to sustain, because the foundation is wrong. And so when you look at this, the metaphor that Jesus expresses in this passage, the focus is not on the building. The focus is not on the builder. Rather, it's upon the foundation. And let's bring this to the area of salvation. This is what we're concerned about today. And we talk about the right foundation. I want you to know that Jesus is our rock. Now, can I use that word all right? Because we see that the wise man built upon the rock. And Jesus is our rock. Listen to Isaiah chapter 28 and in verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And he that believeth shall not make haste. You want to know that cornerstone? It's Jesus Christ, and there is none other. You say, but I believe this guy, I believe that guy, I believe this religion, I believe these concepts, I believe these ideologies, I follow these religions. My friend, the cornerstone is Jesus Christ. He is the rock. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he said, for other foundations can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The right foundation is Jesus. As a matter of fact, in 1 Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 1, he's spoken of there as he is our hope. He is our hope. And so what we find is that, and go back to our text, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we find the mention of a foundation. And it's a foundation of God, and it's one that stands sure. And I've given you and just offered just a few ideas of some wrong foundations, and we can connect with that. You know people that believe those things. You might be here today yet believing some of those things. I want you to know it's a wrong foundation. But I'll tell you, there is a right foundation. I've already alluded to the foundation that I mentioned to you about Jesus Christ. So what do we find? Verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Now notice that phrase, the Lord knoweth them that are His. First of all, this involves the true God of heaven, the one and only God. He says, the Lord. And know when by context and know by description and follow throughout the Bible, when he talks about the Lord, that's what it means. The Jews were monotheistic. They believed in one God. Christianity is monotheistic. We believe in one God. There is one Lord. Now we realize the Bible describes for us this God as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And I know the word Trinity is not found in the Scripture, but we believe that the lesson is taught there. We believe in the Trinity, but there's still just one Lord. Can I explain all that? Can I describe it to your satisfaction? Probably not. But I believe it with all of my heart. There are not three gods. There's not a myriad of gods. There's not gods many and lords many. Of the earth, they have their own gods, little g, and they have their own lords, little l. But I'll tell you, there's only one true God. And the foundation is this, the Lord, the one true God of heaven and earth, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. The God of the Jews is the same God whom we follow today. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord. Now notice what it says. The Lord knoweth. God knows. Now that word is very common in the New Testament. It's the word gnosko. It means to know, it is to perceive, it is to discern. There are many applications in which it's applied. But thinking along these kind of lines, you know, even that word is used in regard to an intimate relationship between a man and a woman. When the angel appeared to Mary, she says, "I know not a man." Well, we can understand that concept, can't we? As a matter of fact, this word is used, and I'm going to give you these verses in just a second, but it's used from the perspective of us to view with favor. Listen to these verses. The first is 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3. "But if any man love God, the same is known of him." You can grasp that, can't you? If you love God, the same is known of him. The other text is Galatians 4, 9. "But now, after that, you have known God," or rather are known of God, "how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage." And Paul, writing to the Galatians, was dealing with them trying to infiltrate the idea that you have to be circumcised to be saved, and he was battling them against going back to the law and all that. But what did he tell them? "But now after that you have known God," or rather are known of God. And yet we find in our text, the Lord knoweth. Same idea. It's the matter of an intimate knowledge of. It's just not the concept of an awareness that God is aware, but I mean, he knows. Views them with favor. And there's a relationship there. Can you get that? Can you grasp that? And so this foundation of God deals with the one true God, a God who knows, who has an intimate relationship with whom? Notice the possession. "The Lord knoweth them that are his." And we say when a person's saved, they become children of God. If you're saved today, we believe you're in the family of God. You're a child of God. Do you realize we're bought with a price? We ought to glorify God in our body. Now he says, "The Lord knoweth them that are his." Now it doesn't say the Lord knoweth them that make a profession. It doesn't say the Lord knoweth them who claim. It doesn't say the Lord knoweth them that are members of churches. It doesn't say the Lord knoweth them that are living a life to the best of their ability and they're very sincere. What's the foundation, my friend? The Lord knoweth them that are his. We're his. And so I submit unto you, this right foundation comes from God, and it's a knowledge that God has, an intimate knowledge of those who are his. And so that being the right foundation, the right foundation is not of works. Does that make sense? What does Titus 3:5 says? "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Romans 3:28 says, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." And yet I venture to say, you know somebody that makes a profession of faith, that believe they're going to heaven, and it's all based upon their good works. It's based upon their religion. It's how they live. And yet we just read in the text. We just read it. A man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And yet so many have built their house off that foundation of good works. It's just the wrong foundation, isn't it? So this right foundation is not one of works, and this right foundation is not one of religion. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and in verse 9, and he says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God." They were religious. They had their viewpoint. They had their perspective. It's what they known all their life. And he said, "You turn from those things and you turn to the true and living God." And I'll tell you, my friend, today you might have a concept that you've held to all your life, and it might be a family tradition, but if it's not according to the Bible, if it's not the fact that salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ apart from works, how that we know that the Lord knoweth them that are his, then you have a wrong foundation and you need to cast it aside and you need to embrace Jesus Christ. Because he is the right foundation. This right foundation is not of works. It's not of religion. And I want to mention to you, I know it's offensive, but the right foundation is not inclusive. Rather, it is exclusive. I know those are words that are very, very irritating in our society. Our society wants to be inclusive. Modern Christianity wants to be inclusive. The Bible is exclusive. And by that I mean it's Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Scripture tells us neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'll tell you, there is no other way. It is exclusive. And so if anybody from any religion anywhere should come to me and say, well, you Christians, you just think you're the only way, that's because we are the only way. Because Jesus is the only way. And if they don't like it, they don't like it. They put us to death, they're going to put us to death. But Jesus Christ is the only way. He is the correct foundation. Nothing else will do. 1 Timothy, Paul wrote to them and he said, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man. And it's the man Christ Jesus. There isn't any other mediator. John chapter 8 says, Jesus speaking said, I said therefore unto you, ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Man, that's serious business, isn't it? You better have the right foundation. Do you have the right foundation? Now look back into our text. I mentioned unto you a little bit about the foundation. I've talked to you about wrong foundations and the right foundation. But there's one other thing I just want to mention as we finish out the text. It says the Lord knows them that are his, but you'll find that the foundation and the motivation is for godly living. And look at the latter part of verse 19. Let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. See, in the context, we find that some people's faith has been overthrown. They believe the resurrection had been passed. Kind of messed them up a little bit. The good thing is that of these that went away, some of those were true believers. And I read in the text, he says, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. The Lord knows them that are his. However, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You just can't follow after that lock, stock, and barrel. You just can't run away after those kind of things. Believe the truth, stand for the truth, follow after the truth. That's what we need to do. We need to pursue the right foundation, not only for salvation itself, the foundation not only for salvation itself, but also for life and service. As Christians, we need to build our lives, our Christian service, on the right foundation. There's a lot of things that pass for Christianity in our society. That's not even close to Scripture. They have a wrong foundation. We want to have a right foundation, not only for salvation, but also for service. So let me say to you in closing, you got the message. I think it's clear enough. What we understand is belief for belief's sake is insufficient. You have to have the correct belief. You have to have the right foundation. Do you have that right foundation? The right foundation for true spiritual relationship with God is salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ apart from works. You see, the Scripture said, and remember Galatians 4, that we are known of God. Are you known of God? Our text said, to them that are his, are you his? That's the right foundation. And somebody might raise the question, well, how do you become one of his? Well, not considering God's side, as we can find in John chapter 6, verse 37, or John chapter 17, and in verse 2. Not from God's perspective, but from our perspective. From a human standpoint, how can you become one of his? Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Philippian jailer come bounding into the jail cell with Paul and Silas, they said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. So I say to you today, you raise the question, how can I become one of his? Very simply, if God's moving in your heart, convicting you of your sin, you recognize you're a sinner, you're undone, you're not going to get to heaven by your good works, you're not going to get to heaven by your religion, and you're not going to get to heaven by something other than Jesus Christ. toss away those foundations, realize the true foundation is Jesus Christ and Him alone, that Christ came, left heaven, came to earth, became a man, died as a sinner, though He never sinned. He was buried, He rose again the third day, He's at the right hand of the Father, and you know what? He gives eternal life to all who believe. Will you believe? Will you, from that foundation, knowing your salvation is by grace through faith in Christ, would you believe? Would you repent and call upon the Lord and be saved? Do you have a right foundation? Do you have a right foundation? Let me close by giving you an illustration. I'm going to tell on myself. Every now and then I'll do that. And I don't always make the right decisions, always do the right things, but I'm going to tell on myself. I'm not a great construction person. I've done some things in my life, and I've sunk some fence posts in my day. Not too many, but I've done some things. So not too long ago, the gate out back fell over, and the fence post was no good. So I went and bought a new post and got all the equipment and all the materials, the hardware and everything. Got the old bags of cement. I'm going to sink me those posts back in the ground. So I did that. I dug the little hole out, and I got them posts, and I dug the mixed up that mortar, you know, put that post in there. Poured the cement around it and smoothed it off. I put in some posts. I've used a little bit of cement. Went over to the other side, poured a little bit of cement around there. Waited about 3 or 4 days. Wait for that cement to cure. Picked up that gate. Hooked it onto that post. And it went floop. Fell right over. Pulled it right out of the ground, post, cement, and everything, flipped all up in the air. Then it dawned on me, this is a load-bearing post. It never occurred to me. I never put in a load-bearing post. Then it dawned on me, oh man, I just really messed up. Because whatever's in that post has to be strong enough and heavy enough to cover whatever load it's bearing. So, I had to break apart the cement, dig the hole bigger, and this week, the Lord willing, I was able to get out there, and I got a couple bags of cement. That gate weighs about 70 pounds, is my guess. There's 160 pounds of cement in that hole. And I put a 60-pound bag on the other side, and that's just a post just to hook a chain to, so that should be good to go. Please don't go out and try it. Don't go out there and hang on it. Don't test it. But what I learned was I had a wrong foundation. Put in a right foundation and it works. And I want you to know, dear sinner friend, today you do not have the foundation to bear up your sin. It's very load-bearing. There's more sin than you can imagine. And it's weighty. And only Jesus is the right foundation. Only He can bear up your sin. Only He paid the penalty so that you might have eternal life. Don't make the mistake of approaching God with the wrong foundation. You'll not make it in. You must enter by the right foundation. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. And He can carry your sin. Would you repent and believe today? Would those of us who are saved recognize that even as Christians we need to have the right foundation in our service? I pray that God's spoken to your heart, God's encouraged you, and blessed you today. I'd like for us to stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? I appreciate your patience. I pray that you heard the message and the attitude in which it's presented. You might be religious. You might even be a member of this church. But if God's showing you today you have a wrong foundation, you've built it all on sand, you best repent and believe on Jesus, because He is the only way. Would you be saved today? And may we who are saved be as we ought to be. Father, we ask You, bless Your word according to Your will. Forgive us where we fall short. Lord, save the lost today. Strengthen the saved. Thank You for Jesus and all He's done for us. Thank You that He is our foundation, and God, that You know them that are His. Lord, You saved us. We're known of You. Lord, we love You. Save the lost, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?